Let us pray together our unison invocation. Shall we pray? O Lord God, almighty and most merciful, whom the heaven, even the heaven of heavens, cannot contain, much less temples built with hands, but who also dwellest with men and delightest thyself in the fellowship of thy people, cleanse our hearts, we beseech thee, from all evil thought and desire, and vouchsafe thy divine presence and blessing, both that those things may please thee, which we do at this present, and also we may obtain thy favor with life everlasting in thy heavenly kingdom, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Good morning.
And welcome, welcome. What a joy it is to see everybody here today. As you know, this is the 50th anniversary of two churches coming together, building this facility, and we are celebrating in a golden way, our golden anniversary. First thing I want to, we're going to do things a little bit different this morning. We will not have the standard passing of the peace, getting up, hugging immediately following the announcements. We're going to let everybody do that during fellowship time in the fellowship hall when we eat, in the interest of keeping things rolling and trying to get through by noon. Also kind of different this morning, we've got a presentation to be made. Joining us are Ron Berry and Bob Hembry from Rockwood Ministerial Association, and they have a special presentation. Whether you all know it or not, we're blessed in many ways in this church, but one of the ways we're blessed is we've got two of the best golfers ever. Tiger Woods, Rory McIlroy, all those guys haven't got anything on Don Lane and his son Joe, who yesterday at the Rockwood Ministerial Association golf tournament fundraiser, they won with an unbelievable score of 17 under. That's quite remarkable. So Don, if you and Joe would come forward, and Ron, if you and Bob would like to make the presentation, we'll do that right here. They used to give out money, but now they just give out a trophy. I've got a place for that. Thank you, Don. Thanks, Ron. Mr. Embry, thank you for all you do for this community, both of you. Keith wanted me to let you know that there'll be a recording of this worship service available on our website starting tomorrow. On the church's website, there'll be a morning session and an evening session. So if anybody that you know missed it, or if you want to see it again or hear it again, I guess it's audio, right? Yes, audio recording. It'll be available on the website. Anybody else got anything? Is anybody, any guests or visitors we need to recognize before we get started? Okay, if not, Pastor, it's all yours.
Our hymn of praise is Great is Thy Faithfulness. It's number 140 in our hymnal. We'll stand as we sing all of the verses.
There is no shadow of turning.
be seated. If the boys and girls would come forward at this time, I have some pictures that I want to show you, and it will tie into what we're doing today. So would you come at this time? How are you? Glad to see you. Good. Today is very special because 50 years ago, we had our first worship service in this beautiful place. We came together after several years of working, of building, of sharing, of raising money. But you know what? We were two churches at one time. I'll show you pictures of them. This church, see, it's a very beautiful frame building. That's the Kingston Avenue Methodist Church. It is no more, okay? And this right here would be, now wait a minute, this building's still standing. It's not a Methodist church. It's a brick building. It's on Rockwood Avenue. So these two churches, two Methodist churches, they came together after this one burned down a long time ago, back in 1960. It's such a beautiful building. You see that? It's gone, but this house is still there. Your mom and your dad, I bet you they can find where this place used to be. There's a fire station there now, but that house, look for it when you have a chance. It's on Kingston Avenue. That house was the parsonage. That's where the preacher and his family would live. See there? So, this building burned. These people in the brick church said, come on in and worship with us. And guess what? This building was too small, too little for all the people that came from this church and this church to that church. That one right there is too little. So the church people decided way back in 1961 and 1962, we need to build a bigger church. So a very nice lady, Mrs. Molyneux, she presented this property to us. All of this beautiful area. You look outside, there's so much open space that belongs to the church. And so here is where the Reverend John Weichel and members of this congregation, they built this church. And it was first worship 50 years ago this month. Now, Reverend Weichel has died, but his widow is right back there. Would you wave at these children? Thank you, Wanda. See her right over there? She was here. And her husband was the preacher at that time. Now, boys and girls, two churches coming together, building this church. Who do you think was really in charge? Wasn't church people, wasn't us preachers, it was God. God called these congregations together. God allowed the people to work together to build this beautiful place. And we came together to worship 50 years ago this month. That's why we're here celebrating. And we're going to have a good time. Let's have a prayer. Dear Lord, thank you so much for all the blessings of life. You're so generous. Thank you for this church and our forebears who worked together with you and all the clergy who came here to serve to build this church the way you wanted it built. Now bless us all as we continue to build. And thank you so much for this celebration. May your presence be with us as we have a good time. May you have a good time as well, O God. Amen. And thank you for coming up. You may go at this time. Now comes the time in our service for prayer concerns. Who are the people that we need to be remembering in prayer? In the bulletin, we have a number of folks, so let's call them to our, let me call them to your attention at this time. Who are those, the rest of the folks, that we need to be remembering?
First of all, I'd ask that you remember my Aunt Mary Sue. I heard this morning that she had fell overnight and she's broken a hip and she's in at Park West right now. Also, as many of you know, I went this week to hopefully have a stent to take care of my problem, and they weren't able to do a stent. I'm going to be faced with a quadruple bypass as soon as I meet with the surgeon this week. Don't know when that surgery will be, but I would ask that you would keep me in your prayers and that you would keep Alex in your prayers. Yes.
Thank you, Larry. We sure will. Others that we need to be remembering. Yes, please. What is her name, please? Thank you. Okay. Yes, ma'am. Pulaski. Others? Anyone else? Go for it, dear. Donnie is back in the nursing home. So his hospital stay is over.
Yes, for now.
Okay. We've been keeping him in our prayers. Others still? Let's hear it, Glenn. You did not have to have an additional unit of blood. Great. We've noticed how well you're improving. We are delighted. You have the constancy of all of our prayers and many other folks too, Glenn. We're delighted. Thanks for the update. Others, please? Let's go to the Lord in prayer, shall we? O God, our Father in heaven, as we bow our heads before you and as we open our minds and hearts to your grace, and as you fill us with your inspiration, we have to say thank you for your constancy and watch care for this congregation, its forebears in the two churches, the leadership that you provided to bring the two churches together and form one church, for all the sacrifice, the plans, the dreams, the hopes, and everything that went together under your leadership and inspiration to bring us to today, the golden anniversary of the first worship service here at Rockwood United Methodist. What a day of rejoicing it is. And we remember those whose faces we do not see here anymore because they passed. They're in your full presence. But their legacy remains with us. And we have much to fulfill, much to complete, and many excellent examples of what they left us in our mind's eye, as well as in our heart, through their examples of giving for the church, giving of their time and their talent, their gift and their service. So thank you, O Lord, for our forebears, and thank you so much for today. May we be worthy of the great trust which they've given to us to carry on into the next half century. Now, O Lord, continue to bless all those that it is our privilege to remember in prayer, all those persons listed in the bulletin. Mary Sue, who's fallen and broken her hip. the news which Larry and Alice have received this week regarding projection for his heart surgery. May things go beautifully for both him and Mary Sue as well. For the niece with colon and liver cancer, these are heavy words, O Lord, especially when we mention stage 4. But dear God, everything belongs to you, including all the healing arts. So bless your artisans, bless your skilled surgeons and other doctors and pathologists, that they will know what best to do for these and other persons who are gravely ill, Denise and Kelly as well. We're grateful that Donnie Joe is out of the hospital and in the rest home. Continue to bless him and the people who love him. Now there are many others, O Lord, which we have not mentioned verbally, but we know who they are, and we remember them constantly. So let us all lift our prayer concerns silently to you in prayer. All these things we pray in the name of the Christ, who taught us to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Understand it there by and by. Onward to blessing that will be when we all see Jesus. We'll sing and shout the victory when we all.
Much work has gone into this celebration today. Almost every aspect of the church has been involved. Joe Bell Masters never, ever would claim that she chaired the committee. So I'm not going to call her a chairperson of the committee for the celebration. I will say that she convened us. She prodded us. She kept us going. She kept us on track. And she turned us loose in plenty of time. I think that's the mark of a teacher, isn't it? We thank you, Joe Bell. We also thank you, Wanda. You're in the middle of it as well. Joe Bell, I want to turn it over to you at this time.
For the past 50 years, Rockwood United Methodist Church has been and is truly blessed with 18 ministers. Each one has brought a very special and unique way of serving. At this time, each will be named and remembered. If the minister and his family are here, please stand when your name is called. John Wesley Weichel, 1962 through 1966. Christopher C. Mize, 1966 through 68. Dale C. Bittinger, 1968 through 1972. Ray P. Hargraves, 1972 through 1974. J. Vance Eastridge, 1974 through 1977. Douglas Smith, 1977 through 1982. Thomas C. Stanley, 1982 through 1986. Claude D. Quillen, 1986 through 1989. Ron O. Allen, 1989 through 1993. Archer I. Coppage, 1993 through 1997. Terry Dale Goodman, 1997 through 2000. Edward D. Nelson, 2000 through 2003. Charles L. Mattson, 2003 through 2006. Keith Knight, 2006 through 2011. Fred C. Hammer, 2011 through 2013. Janet Edwards, July 2013 through November 2013. Don Ferguson, Jr., November 2013 through June 2014. William Joseph Fowler, July 2014 through.
The hymn is "Guide Me, O Thou Great Jehovah," number 127. We'll stand as we sing, remain standing for the responsive reading and Gloria Patri. Is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein.
For he hath founded it upon the seas and established it upon the floods.
Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who shall stand in his holy place?
He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully.
He shall receive the blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation.
This is the generation of them that seek him, that seek thy face.
Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors.
And the King of glory shall come in.
Who is the King of glory?
The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle.
Lift up your heads, O ye gates. Even lift them up, ye everlasting doors.
And the King of glory shall come in.
Who is this King of glory?
The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory.
Father.
Amen.
We come now to the time in our worship for the giving and receiving of God's tithes and our offerings. Will you come at this time? O Lord, we give you thanks for opportunities to work, to share, to earn money, and to give money. Accept now this money, your tithe and our offering, to further the work of this church, your church, in this community, and throughout the world. Amen. Please be seated. The scripture lesson for today is contained in the book of Nehemiah from chapter number 4 beginning with verse number 1 and then reading through verse number 9. So let us hear the word of the Lord. Now when Sanballat had heard that we were building the wall, he was angry and greatly enraged, and he mocked the Jews. He said in the presence of his associates and of the army of Samaria, "What are these feeble Jews doing? Will they restore things? Will they sacrifice? Will they finish it in a day? Will they revive the stones out of heaps of rubbish and burned ones at that?" Tobiah the Ammonite was beside him, and he said, "That stone wall they are building, any fox going up on it would break it down. Hear, O our God, for we are despised. Turn their taunt back on their own heads, and give them over as plunder in a land of captivity. Do not cover their guilt, and do not let their sin be blotted out from your sight. For they have hurled insults in the face of the builders." So we rebuilt the wall, and all the wall was joined together to half its height, for the people had a mind to work. But when Sanballat and Tobiah and the Arabs and the Ammonites and the Ashdodites heard that the repairing of the walls of Jerusalem was going forward and the gaps were beginning to be closed, they were very angry and all plotted together to come and fight against Jerusalem and to cause confusion in it. So we prayed to our God and set a guard as a protection against them day and night. Amen. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and may the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. The time is the middle of the 5th century B.C. The Persian emperor, a man by the name of Artaxerxes, allowed an officer of his court, a Jewish person by the name of Nehemiah, to leave his court and go to Jerusalem. Nehemiah had heard that the Jewish people, his people, who had been released by Cyrus, the king of Persia, some 90 years earlier, they were having a very hard time settling in. The place was rubbish. All kinds of marauding bands were coming and going, and they were just looting the whole area. This got back to the court of Artaxerxes, and Nehemiah asked the king, "Would you please let me go down and see if I can help my people?" So Nehemiah left. He left the relative safety of the Persian court and went to Jerusalem. There he found a mess. A whole culture was simply deteriorating. People didn't believe in God. They didn't practice religion. They didn't know enough about religion to practice it. Ezra comes in at the same time. He is the one that helps reestablish religion, but Nehemiah deals with the political structure or lack thereof. So one of the first things Nehemiah said, "You know, people, we need a wall. We need a wall about the city of Jerusalem, because with a wall, you can hide there. You can be protected there from these marauding bands. You will feel safe. And you won't have to be on edge all the time about what's going to happen next." So they began to build a wall. Now, Sanballat was the governor of Samaria. Samaritans were mixed race, and the Jews always looked down on the Samaritans, still do to this day. When Virginia and I visited the Holy Land about 35 or 40 years ago, there were about 90 Samaritans still alive in Sychar. At least that's what we were told. There may be more, there may be less. But the Samaritans and the Jews did not get along. And in the time of our Lord, we find this in a number of occasions where Jews and Samaritans did not get along. So Sanballat is very derisive. He laughs at him. He's got Tobiah. He's also laughing. Why, a fox jump on that wall, it would crumble. And so you've got all of this stuff going down. And sure, the people of Jerusalem, they says, oh my goodness, listen to those threats. Are we going to be swarmed? Are we going to be put down? We find, of course, that they were not. The Lord was with the project. And a very important and, shall we say, memorable comment in Nehemiah was made, so we built the wall. And all the wall was joined together to half its height. For the people had a mind to work. Today's a special day in our history here at Rockwood. The people had a mind to work. Our forebears, of course. They showed us how it was done. Anytime you bring two congregations together, and they then together build a church, that takes a lot of compromise, a lot of patience. And we human beings can't do that on our own. The Lord inspired Reverend John Weichel. The Lord inspired God's people here at that time. And they had a mind to work. I was here by myself late yesterday afternoon. I wanted to go through those exhibits. I wanted to look at those pictures over in that classroom just down the hall over here. Don't leave home without seeing it. Most interesting. Those of you who may be a bit older might find yourself in some of those pictures. I might have been looking right at some of you, but I didn't recognize you. You changed a little bit, if you know what I mean. But there you were, Sunday school class after Sunday school class, the erection of the church itself, the steeple, and all of the paraphernalia in the way of heavy machinery that was involved. And then I looked over and saw a plate against the wall, the Kingston Avenue Methodist Church, built in 1894, destroyed by fire in 1960. What a beautiful church. So tragic to have a church burned down. The tearing of the hearts and souls of people is unimaginable and unbelievable. And then Mrs. Molyneux's gift, the breaking of the ground. I'd go by there and I'd ask some of you workers about this picture, and I would get a story from you about what it was like. And you told me that with such pride. I'll always remember your enthusiasm as you worked on this project. These pictures, that work, very, very dear to you. We are to be grateful, and I know we are, for the sacrifices and the accomplishments of our forebears. Notice that the Lord was present then. The Lord is present now. When I saw the church people working, 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 day in, day out, week in, week out, I said, my goodness. I asked Joe Bell, I said, Joe Bell, what are you going to do now that the celebration's over? What are you going to do with all your time? I don't know what she's going to do. Did you say hibernate? Britt Van Winkle, that's hibernate, isn't it? So you see, this tells me that this congregation is filled with a huge amount of commitment, a huge amount of love for this church, and love for each other. Now let's see if we can look at the lens of Nehemiah's time and our time. It's not really that unlike, because Sanballat was derisive toward the Jews. We have a whole culture that's hostile toward Christianity. Over in Iraq, Christians are losing their lives daily. Beheaded, if you will. The same is true in Africa. Many Christians, if you profess Jesus, you are targeted. But
But in our country, it's even more insidious because we have so many temptations to pull us away from building the wall of culture, which helps all of us order our lives after the way of Christ. Our temptations are huge, and they are sinister. They are fantastic in tantalizing and tempting each other. One of the greatest temptations, and I could spend the rest of the day mentioning all those that tempt us away from following Jesus, away from building the wall, disciplining our lives, working with our souls to have discipline. And if you look at the word and look at disciple, you will see, oh my goodness, are they spelled alike? Think about it. If we're going to be a disciple of Jesus, we're going to have discipline. Discipline for the soul. But yet we live in a selfie generation. Did you know that? A selfie generation. It's all about me. Me, me, me. You can get a hamburger and you know it's all about you. All right? You buy a car and it's all about you. You, you, you. I'm in love with you, you, you. Back in the 60s, that was a song. But the most interesting manifestation of selfiness is what you find on Facebook. It is amazing. I look at Facebook on a regular basis because my students befriended me. Okay? You know what that means? I'm a friend of so many of them. And sometimes I defriended because of what they put on there, but most of the time I found that it was all about them. And they would tell me what they had to eat, and they would insert a map on Facebook to show me the exact restaurant where they ate. I thought to myself, people, what do I care what you eat? I mean, my goodness gracious alive, get you some food right enough, but why broadcast it to the world? Because we worship the self these days. But the most comical example of selfie culture, I was reading in one of my many catalogs. That's what I do. I love catalogs. And did you know, dear people, that you can buy a toaster? That's right, cooking bread a little bit. That will show your picture, your face, in the toast. Yes. And your significant other will have his or her side of the toaster, and you put the toast in, and boom, out comes the toast. You're on one piece of bread, and he or she's on the other one. I thought, isn't that wonderful? Those are the kinds of temptations that tantalize us and move us away from the seriousness of discipline. Discipline of the soul. And we have to work at it, dear friends. Our whole culture is in need of witnesses to Jesus Christ. That's where you and I come in. We are a church gathered, and we'll disperse after a while, and we will go wherever we go. You and I bring Christ by our very lives wherever we go. Will we make a difference because we've disciplined our lives after Jesus? The culture needs it badly. Our cities are deteriorating. Detroit is broke. There was a cartoon that had some dark humor in it. I thought, on one hand, very sad. It's a judge giving capital punishment to this poor, poor victim. He knows he's a goner. And the judge says, well, because we don't know how to execute our criminals anymore, we botch our executions, I am going to consign you to Chicago. They know how to kill you. Now that is appalling, isn't it? But that's where we are. Do you think our culture needs Jesus? If you think so, say amen. That's not convincing. Say it again.
Amen.
That's much, much better. Can you and I make a difference? Will we go out and say, we are privileged to be Christian people, and we are going to make a difference by our example, by who and what we say, and to whom we say it? Now, how do we accomplish this? Well, guess what? We can't by ourselves. It's up to God. Preacher, you've been with us about 5 weeks. What are you going to be like? You're an unknown quantity. Well, so are you. I don't know what you're going to be like. But I know this. I see a lot of love here. I see a lot of commitment here. And I can tell you as your preacher, I'm not going to micromanage your organization. I don't have time. You all have committees. You all have things you like to do. And I want you to look at me as your pastor, not as somebody who orchestrates what you do. But it's about football season now, so we're going to have ball carriers. I'm not the ball carrier. I'm the blocking back, okay? The ball is snapped to you. Show me how I can run interference so that you can carry the ball and make a touchdown. Do you follow me? That's what I'm going to do. And I'm going to sit here and stand there and preach and teach and visit the sick and the lonely and the shut-ins. That's what I'm going to do. If this church moves, going in whatever direction, it'll have to be up to you. How are you going to do that? I would suggest that you wait. Many of you have put down what you'd like to see the church do and become. There's a whole list of them. I'm proud of you. You put it down. That's good. You want more folks. Well, preacher, get moving. No. I'm going to preach the word. I'm going to teach. I'm going to visit. If you want new members, ask your neighbor. If the congregation is enthusiastic about growing, you all will talk about what a wonderful congregation this is and ask people to come to church. Church growth is not made by a program. It does not trickle down from above. Church, and I will support you and run interference for you. Everyone is a minister. Everyone is an evangelist. Lift the preacher up. Help the preacher. Help each other, and your church will grow. Do you think that we're the only ones that notice that the culture needs Christ? People are crying to be spiritually fed. They are. I don't care where you go. People are hungry. So what are we going to do? We're going to wait. We're going to wait until the Spirit of the Lord touches our spirit. We don't have a mission statement here at Rockwood. We don't need one because we've got one in Luke chapter 4. Luke 4. Remember? The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He's anointed me to bring good news to the poor, sent me to proclaim release to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, let the oppressed go free, proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord's favor. The church is the body of Christ. He said that was His mission, and it still is, for Christ is alive. It's not your church, it's not my church, it's God's church, and it's the body of Jesus. And we are to live up to what the Christ does. But we still have to wait. We have to wait, and we must engage in prayer. Wrestle with your ideas. Many of you have written wonderful ideas on what you'd like to see the church become. Hold those ideas out in front of you. Put them on your bathroom mirror. We visit that bathroom mirror on a regular occasion, don't we? Put that up there so you can see what you said your mission's going to be and say, God, is this what you want? Then use me. Talk to God. Wait. Remember Psalm 130, verses 5 and 6. I wait for the Lord. My soul waits, and in His word I hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than the watchman for the morning, more than the watchman for the morning. So our first task together is wait. I will wait as your pastor. You wait as members of this church. Let's pray individually, collectively. God, what do you want out of me? Okay? The second thing I want us to do, wait and pray the first thing. And this will tie our 50 years, it will bookend, you might say, our 50 years that we're celebrating together. It will bookend very nicely. In August of 1964, that was an election year. The society and the culture was torn apart back then, too, for a number of reasons. First of all, Vietnam was beginning to heat up. Secondly, you had the extreme right wing in this country. Anybody ever heard of the John Birch Society? It was very active 50 years ago. But there's one thing I want us to remember, because I remember August of 1964 very well. It's when Virginia and I married. So I'm keenly aware of the cultural milieu, and all of us were still getting over the shock of a president being assassinated. Remember that? I don't care what your politics is. To have the president of the United States murdered is an event I hope no one ever has to live through again. It's terrible. So that was right fresh on our minds when the builders of this building were working to make this beautiful establishment come true for these two congregations together. Now, John Kennedy had a tremendous speech writer, and he was a very articulate president. His speechwriter, Ted Sorensen, could really turn a fantastic phrase. Always been curious about Ted Sorensen, the speechwriter for President Kennedy. He could quote Shakespeare or have Kennedy quote Shakespeare in the Bible with equal ease. But what I found to be very memorable 50 years ago was when the speech that John Kennedy did not give in Dallas, because he was murdered before he gave it, of course, when that speech was published, I found it most interesting. Of course, most of it was the talk about the culture at that time and what politics was going to be like and da-da-da-da-da. But he concluded it with part of a verse of a psalm that I want to conclude this sermon with. One that has haunted me every church I've ever served, and I want it to haunt you. Kennedy, had he lived, would have closed his Dallas speech with these words: "Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain." Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. Do you see how critical it is? By the way, that's Psalm 127, second part of the first verse, if you want to read it again and again. Psalm 127, second part of verse 1. Do you see how the theology we find in the Old and the New Testament makes us dependent upon God first? seek the Lord first, and all else will be added. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Our hymn is number 57, Oh, for a Thousand Tongues to Sing. We'll stand as we sing all of the verses. There may be those persons who would like to come forward for prayer, to kneel at the altar. Others who would like perhaps to rededicate their lives to Jesus Christ. And then still others who would like to join this congregation. If you come as we sing the last stanza, we'd be very honored to recognize your request. We'll stand as we sing. Make a quick step to the fellowship hall before we have the blessing and eat. There is a very wonderful presentation that will go forth and that we will share and celebrate, but we need you over there ASAP. So don't stop and look in the room yet. Just go right over there, okay? In peace, in joy, and in thanksgiving, people of God, go forth. Go forth and enjoy your salvation, for God has seen fit to choose you and me for special work. He gives us salvation. So go in peace.
And me.